Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Drombulek folk of Sector 18. I see you when you sleep. Good morning to the strange people that live in the swamps of South Florida. Good morning to the bastard princes wandering the wasteland between here and forever. It's Monday, August the 14th, 2023 Bo Blimp Doc. And like so many people out there, I'm stuck between here and tomorrow. I'm traveling between yesterday and the future. I'm seeking after a time wallet to put my time cash in. Some kind of special fucking time wallet to put my time dollars in. I'm looking for canned food. I'm trying not to be rude. The dogs are high on cocaine because it's never gonna rain. Tomorrow I hit the road and I leave Scompton, and if you can sense it in my voice, I've got a lot of questions. I think I know where I'm going. I'm going to Colorado, right? Gonna head to Colorado on a Firebird. Gonna catch a ride on a Phoenix and be reborn in the ashes, right? I'm gonna find the rubies that were lost by the ancient queen. She dumped them at the scene after she murdered the king. I'll struggle up the river. I'll head out west. They said go west, young man. They said you'll travel to Mars. I'll have brand new cars. I'll be taking my trip. And through time I shall rip. Like the lost scarab beetle eating away the flesh of some fucking pharaoh. Like the mummy and the mummy's curse. It can't really get worse. We can feel the rain. We can feel that hail. We can sense the locust. It's on the window. It's staring right at you. The locust. Now are you focused? Yeah, I'm heading out of Scompton, Utah tomorrow. And in a strange way, this reminds me of that trip to Ireland in 2016. Except the difference is, I had peace here. I had peace, I had acceptance, and it's over. And wherever I end up next, I can hope and I can pray and I can plead that it'll be the same, but I think the devil's on my trail, brothers and sisters. I mean, I know that the Lord's power is everywhere. I know that God's plan rules. I know that Jesus Christ left us with the Holy Spirit. And on good days, I feel the Holy Spirit. But yesterday was not a good day. I smoked cigarettes. I got myself a pack of cigarettes. I drank beer on the stoop and I smoked cigarettes as I waited for another strange traveler to show up and maybe give me a ride. Yesterday, Sunday, I felt like I was being chased by the devil. The devil, he wears a black suit. The devil, he has a stovepipe hat. The devil, he has a special black cat and a friend named Paul, who's a rat. In so many ways, the devil has no power. It's one of those things that as you read the Bible, and as you understand your connection to the Lord, you realize on one level, all the devil has is fear and your weakness. He has fear that you're going to go hungry, fear that there'll be nothing to drink, fear that you're not good enough, fear that ultimately you might be a burned out middle-aged piece of shit like me. And the best thing that could happen would be some type of fucking heart attack. Because I don't even have the courage to do the thing I sometimes in the last few weeks have felt like doing. And maybe you'd say, well, Dan, that's not courage. I don't know what to tell you. I know the Lord is kind and I know that the Lord is righteous and just, but I'm not always that kind and I'm not always that righteous and I don't know if I'm particularly just. And I think to myself, what do I want out of this fucking world? Not much at this point. I would like to be able to have a room with, you know, some sort of temperature control of sorts, which means a window. I'd like to have food, some electricity. I wouldn't mind continuing the podcast. And I'd like to do some writing, some serious writing, not just the garbage I've been pumping out for the last decade, but something real before whatever happens, happens. Does that make me meager? Does that make me small? Doesn't make me a hero. I mean, you could call me a minimalist, and that's true. But yet, some of my worst memories that I have involve leaving shit behind, and I'm so tired of it. I know I've told you, brothers and sisters, you have to know what to leave behind if you want to survive. And in the coming months and years, this is going to be more true than at any other point in your life. If you thought there was an opportunity to find a part of the fucking toilet bowl that was relatively safe, I think that window is closed. I think in a matter of weeks, people will be putting up signs on their lawn saying, "For sale! For sale!" And no amount of Bain Capital, no amount of Wall Street monkey business, no amount of taking Fed bucks to buy up homes that no one's going to live in so that there's more homeless people that everyone's going to hate, no amount of that bullshit's going to stop what's coming. Okay? They can buy up every home on the block, and all that you will learn in the coming weeks and months is that the Weimar wheelbarrow was always your fucking home. Always. Period. That wheelbarrow filled with money that's worthless, that won't even buy a loaf of bread. It was always your fucking home, especially if you live someplace where you don't really have direct access to food, water, or any type of reasonable security. And the police, the cops, the government, the military. Oh, how can I put this? You ever hear of useful idiots? If you live in a city, very soon, the cops that you trust, supposedly, they're going to bug out. They're going to leave. They're going to go to the countryside. Some of them may stay behind, the really sadistic ones, the drug addicts, the rapists. Yeah, guess what? Everything you say about a homeless person can be applied to a fucking cop. And pretty soon, the only cops, quote unquote, that'll be left in your city will be victimizers. They'll turn into what they are ultimately, pure and simple gang leaders. That's what's coming. And if you expect at that point some random person to show up from China and write you a check for $1 million, understand this. Despite what the news might be telling you, China has been imploding since 2019. There's a good chance the COVID-19 was about covering that up in part, because COVID-19 as military psychological warfare had many purposes. And one of its purposes was to cover up, basically, in my opinion, a civil war in China. And you won't know the truth. And no one's going to tell you the fucking truth. The Chinese government's, you know, despite Dane Wigington's bullshit every week, because like I said, 80% of what he says is true. Despite his bullshit about, well, I think the Chinese media is more honest than ours. Wake the fuck up, Dane. Everybody is lying. The Chinese media's lying, the European media's lying, your media in the United States of bullshit is lying. They're all lying. And as far as the Chinese government goes, it's been an outlet, an office, a remote office of the Central Intelligence Agency since at least the 1960s, when we saved Mao Zedong's ass, when we protected him from a lot of people who wanted to put a pointy hat on his head and shoot him in the head during the Cultural Revolution. Wake the fuck up, Dane. Whatever the fuck the People's Republic of China is, it's a 100% manufactured at Langley thing. It has no connection to Chinese history. It has no connection to their culture. It is artificial as fuck. And like most things that are artificial, it will be cast aside. Wake the fuck up. You think some of these journalists are telling you the truth, Dane? Sorry. Chances are they're all full of shit, fucker. And yeah, you say, why are you so harsh on Dane Wigington? At this point, I don't even know if he's real. I really don't. I have listened to his weekly report since 2015. And the only thing I can really state from listening to them is I believe that 8 out of 10 things he says are true. And then there's the other two. And the other two involve nonsense. Nonsense about my favorite emperor, nonsense about how we can sue people and it's going to fix things. A lot of fucking nonsense. And what's really fucking disturbing is that when the COVID-19 hit in 2020, quote unquote, he should have, based on his experience, come to the conclusion that I came to very quickly in 2020, that the most likely proximal cause of people dropping dead in late 2019, early 2020, didn't have to do with a magical fucking virus from Wuhan. It had to do with the fact that they changed the gumptus, the crapola they spray in the sky. They had late stage geoengineering needs, and so they put together a late stage geoengineering formula, and what was already toxic became immediately deadly to a lot of people. A lot of people who already had iffy immune systems, who already were teetering. They breathed in some of this shit and they would drop dead. But instead of using Occam's razor that Dane always talks about, instead of recognizing that if you poison people, some people on the spectrum as a percentage are simply going to drop dead from exposure to a poison, he grabs after the magical monkey herpes and scares the fuck out of people about something that is not a concern. That's what I think of Dane Wigington and the two things he tells us that are bullshit. But it doesn't matter. Because unlike Dane, my YouTube channels get deleted before anybody ever hears my fucking voice. Unlike Dane, who constantly complains about, I can't be found on the internet. Yeah, have you had your actual website ripped off by a corporation, Dane? I've been looking at your website, like I said, for 8 fucking years, Dane. Ask me how many of my blogs have been destroyed by a corporation in those 8 years. More than one, shithead. And that's before I had 100,000 followers and a bunch of people leaving great comments on your fucking line. And I don't give a fuck. I don't care because it doesn't matter at this point. What is coming is going to arrive. You can plead with it. You can wear a hoodie. You can hand out shit at a farmer's market. You can file lawsuits. I think I have the basis for a class action lawsuit against GoDaddy. Probably Twitter. Probably also, you know, YouTube and SoundCloud and Bluehost. I probably have the basis for more than one class action lawsuit. I have reached out to lawyers. I have explained to them my situation and how I'm not special. Crickets. And I don't mean crickets to eat. If you're worried about eating crickets, my friends out there, take a look at the windshield of your fucking truck. If you're worried about eating bugs, take a fucking shovel and dig into that dirt. Because again, 8 out of 10 things Dane says I think are true. You dig into that dirt. You tell me how much life is there. Take a walk in the forest in the Pacific Northwest. When I was a kid, the forests were loud almost year round. When I was a kid growing up in Western Washington, you'd walk into the forest and you would hear noises year round. You walk into the forest now and they're quiet. Deadly quiet. And so, yeah, I don't know if Dane Wigington is real. I do know that as a Sovietologist, it's worth listening to him just because of those 8 things he says that are true. You just have to have the discernment to remove the 2 that are bullshit. You know, when he says, be your best self, what the fuck does that mean? I'm a former air defense officer. I can tell you straight up what you should do if some motherfucker is poisoning your family from the sky, and it doesn't involve any of the bullshit Dane talks about. At all. And by the way, he more or less said about 5-6 years ago that we only had about 5 or 6 years. So I'm wondering what good the handouts and the lawsuits and the really shitty documentaries are going to do at this point. I don't think it's going to do any good at all. I think it's wasting people's time. What little time you have left, especially if you don't believe in God, because if you don't believe in God, then all of this is just nature. All of this is simply going to fucking happen. All of this is chemistry and physics. And it's probably game over if there's no God. But if there is a God, what's coming isn't the thing that we think it is. It isn't the thing that we've been told. It's something else. It's something dark. I believe in God. I believe the Lord is just. I believe the Lord will deal with liars and fakers and hypocrites in the end. And I also believe that a day is coming very, very soon, whether you live in Colorado, Grinkentown, or Scompton, Utah, or Boblimptock, Washington State, if you live on the edge of San Francisco, if you live in some huddling zone in South Chicago, it doesn't fucking matter. The fist is going to hit everybody in the face. I've mentioned this before. I've got a video from 2014. That documents my leaving Seattle one of the times I left Seattle. One of the times. shaking my fist at Seattle as I left, swearing I'd never return. I returned about 3 years later. But on that Amtrak ride to Chicago from Seattle in 2014, I took a lot of video and I put together a miniature documentary. And in that documentary, I say to myself, well, really, I say to the camera, the truth is, I'm just changing seats on an airplane. Okay? A lot of what people are doing right now to negotiate with reality, the denial, the anger, the bargaining, a lot of the negotiation with reality, thinking we can negotiate with it, it amounts to changing seats on an airplane. Are there going to be better places than other places? Absolutely. It's why I would tell you, and I'll keep telling you, no one's going to hear it, you need to get the fuck out of a city. And if you live in a city in the desert, you really need to get the fuck out now. Okay? I don't care if you want to gaslight me. In the end, if you're real out there in some fucking city in Phoenix, Albuquerque, who the fuck knows where, Nevada, you're really just going to be gaslighting yourself. You're just going to be confusing yourself. You're going to be mind-fucking yourself because you're too afraid to accept an idea that's very simple. None of what you have was ever going to last. Ever. Not your car, not your home, none of it. It was always going to go away. It was always going to turn to dust. If you're an atheist, you should know this. If you're a Christian, you should know this. The devil knows this. I mean, the devil will sell you a mountain. The devil will sell you a mountain range. The devil will sell you an ocean. And he'll say, look at this pretty ocean, Dan. You can have it. But the devil also knows all he's selling you is a bucket of urine. That's what he's selling you. He knows this. He'll argue and he'll plead and he will be brilliant. All grifters who get to a certain level sound brilliant. But at the end of the day, he knows he's selling you a bag of shit. If Dane Wigington's 8 out of 10 things he's been saying are true, and there is no God, then we may be at the beginning stage of what's called a rapid warming event. And this doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world, but one scenario is Venus syndrome. You know, one scenario would be the end of all life on planet Earth, assuming you don't have a spaceship. Assuming you don't have an off-planet colony. Assuming that you can't live in bunkers in Antarctica. It's hard to say what Venus syndrome would look like on planet Earth. It really is, because we don't know. We can theorize, but we don't know. I'd be willing to wager it probably won't be as bad as Venus, which means melting lead temperatures. But could it be cooking turkey for Thanksgiving temperatures just about everywhere except for Antarctica? Yeah. Cooking a turkey. And if there is no God, about the only place on planet Earth where you might have a shot would be Antarctica. And even there, you wouldn't really spend a lot of time above the surface because even if it ends up being cooler there, the air will become toxic. The air will become deoxygenated. Earth will become a completely different planet. About the only place you could theoretically survive would be there. And at best, I think, at best, some colony there lasts maybe 100 years. Well, Dan, they could build a bunker. You know what? They could build a bunker and they could hire the smartest engineers to build it. But would they do better than 100 years? Would they do better than 1,000? For Venus syndrome, for a heating or warming event that was severe enough, it could take 100,000 years before the Earth normalizes, quote unquote, and life starts again. So life eventually could start again, despite all the reactors cooking off, despite all the toxic gumbus everywhere. In 100,000 to 1,000,000 years, life would start again. Nobody's going to build a bunker that lasts that long. So all you're really doing, all you're doing is building a coffin. That's all you're doing. If you're going to go down to Antarctica, you're building a coffin, and maybe you stay alive for the rest of your life, and maybe your kids live out their life. But at some point, definitely within 500 years, that bunker is going to be destroyed. It won't work. Your filtration systems, your ability to recycle water, at some point, those systems will break down. You will cease to be able to keep it going. And then what? You're in a mausoleum. About the only thing you could say is that bunker system might keep enough of our shithead civilization's bullshit, enough of its information, enough of the data around, so that in the future, some alien can show up and look through the library of humanity and laugh and mock and scoff and joke amongst themselves. Look at these fuckers. They didn't have a perfect world. They had a pretty good fucking world. But they didn't have the wisdom to realize that because it wasn't perfect, you kind of have to not be a shithead. You can't build pyramid schemes because nature doesn't do that. Nature doesn't build pyramid schemes. It's self-regulating. But then humans think, well, self-regulation sucks. We don't want freedom. We don't want liberty. That's self-regulation. What we want is control. We want to print a shitload of money. We want to eat 10,000 years worth of lunches in 100 years. What the fuck do you think happens when you do that shit? And by the way, that's not about capitalism. That's not about free enterprise. That's about control. Thinking people can control us, that they can control anything. You think that there are some people on this planet that are evil, but also sane? Everyone's crazy. The quote-unquote good people are crazy. The evil people are crazier. And it's all going to go down if there is no God. But if there is a God, and I believe there is, it means that the bloody stage has been built. It means that the performance is about ready to start. It means that pretty soon, some terrible John the Baptist, quote-unquote, a fake John the Baptist, a dark John the Baptist, an evil one, is going to go up on the stage and say, as master of ceremony, I'd like to welcome the son of the man that wears only black, the son of the man that has a rat named Paul, the son of a man that has a black cat. I want to welcome his son to be named. And I know I sound crazy. I know that I sound insane. I know that I'm probably no better off in terms of my mental state than most of the people out there. Perhaps I see some of the truth. Maybe I see a fair amount of it. I know that in the last 8 years, I've done a pretty good job of pointing out to my listeners, here is a point in time. Here is a point in time where there's going to be a discontinuity. 2015, I said it was 5 years away. 2019, I said, get ready. 2020, I told you, whatever they're managing, whatever they're dealing with, it isn't what you think it is. Most of what you've seen so far is theater. BLM Antifa, I got hours of video, theater. Drag queen story time, theater. COVID-19, monkey herpes, vaccine, viral bullshit, theater. But what's coming ain't going to be theater. It's a reality show. It's going to be real. And there's going to be no one to film it. And no one's going to care. And if you have no faith in God, if you follow a false religion, if you're being deceived by your minister, then it's entirely plausible that you're going to be set up for the Antichrist. And he'll come out on that stage and he'll speak directly to you. You got a home in Boblimpdock. You're worried about losing your home. You're worried about your home's value dropping. Well, I got this magical fucking cure. I'm going to give you fusion energy. I'm going to give you rockets to Mars. I'm going to give you everything you ever wanted, superconductive burrito magic. And I know I sound crazy. But you can hear the footsteps. You can hear the footsteps. The directors turned on the lights. The players are taking the stage. So yeah, I leave Scompton, Utah tomorrow. I head to Colorado. I head to a future that's about as real and predictable and known as yours. In 1980, my dad took my family on a trip to Hawaii. We actually stayed on Maui, on the island of Maui for a while. I remember, and I was 10 years old, getting sucked in by the undertow, and it pulled off my swimming trunks, and then they got filled with sand. It's one of my memories. I remember, I think it was Honolulu, but I remember going to this international market when my brother got a mechanical bird. Maybe it wasn't made in China at that time. Probably was. Maybe Taiwan. I remember we went to a restaurant where people would dress up as celebrities, and you'd have fake money with the celebrities, and I thought, this is funny. Later on, I'd realize it was also kind of poignant and sad as an adult. But at the time, it was just funny. Fake people, fake money. Why not? We play Monopoly. My dad bought a few boats in the 70s. He bought them basically with cash. At one point in the 1970s, I think he made about $90,000 a year, which in today's dollars, I think would be like $400,000, I think, at least $300,000. And again, you have to think more in terms of just not just monetary inflation. You have to ask yourself not just how much value does your money have, but is there anything of value that you can buy in this Norman Borlaug poison food reality? If my dad knew in 1980 what was coming for the next 13 years before he died, I don't think we would have gone to Hawaii. I think he would have taken you know, different actions. I think he would have been, you know, I think he would have been no more or less wise. He just would have understood. I think he would have saved the money. I think he would have made different choices, but he didn't know. He was being promised a future that he believed would exist, the same future he was promised when he got out of the military after World War II. He'd open up popular mechanics or popular science, and he'd see, oh, everyone's going to have a helicopter, and everyone's going to fly around, and we're all going to have automatic kitchens that cook our food. He was sold that when he was 18 years old. He was sold a bill of goods, just like a lot of vets from World War II were. And frankly, vets, military, are still being sold a lot of bullshit. We've got a recruiting crisis, Dan. No, military, you don't have a recruiting crisis. You have a crisis of honor. You have a crisis of honesty. You can't tell the fucking truth, and you can't keep your fucking oaths. So why the fuck would anybody join the military at this point other than maybe to go to college and then be lied to by other people? We don't have a recruiting crisis in the military. We have a crisis of our sense of self. Whatever this country was supposed to be, it failed. And it, you know, some of you, well, it failed about 10 years ago. Some might say it failed in 72 when Nixon closed the gold window. No, it failed in 1913 with the IRS, with the Federal Reserve. Brothers and sisters, I think it failed in 1788. I think it failed when we didn't have the courage to be free for more than 5 fucking years. It failed. And then a bunch of lawyers came along, and another name for lawyers, grifter. Bunch of grifters came along, probably people who had a good conversation with their Lord, and yeah, that's lowercase. And their Lord said, listen, this freedom thing is not going to work out for me. I need a fallen world. I don't need one that's uplifted. If people are free, if they're allowed to self-regulate, well, this country would be a garden. And our cities would be shining examples on a hill, and that can't be allowed. If this nation is free, it's probably not going to spend so much time thinking about stealing from other countries and killing a bunch of Native Americans. If this country were free, there'd be no place for the devil. Maybe a few little corners, maybe a crack here and there, but not what it is now, a big bloody stage. Yeah. We couldn't allow freedom. That's what Lucifer probably said to Hamilton. That's what Lucifer said to all the cowards and the traitors of the quote-unquote Constitutional Convention. But Dan, they gave us the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is dog vomit. If you don't know that after 2020, what the fuck is wrong with you? The Bill of Rights didn't help anybody. Your lawyers didn't help anybody. Your expert professors didn't help anybody. The ministers and the church and the clergy didn't help anybody. The fucking journalist, a giant fucking F on the forehead. A giant L, a giant loser, a giant fail. Your journalists didn't work. Your First Amendment failed. Your Second Amendment failed. Everything about your so-called Bill of Rights failed. The only thing that didn't fail was the plan. And in this case, I'm not talking about specifically the Lord's plan, although in reality, even the plans that Lucifer comes up with are really just ideas from God. Because even Lucifer, who doesn't know this, he ends up working for God. He doesn't think he does, but that's part of his stupidity. He's a brilliant grifter, but he's not very wise. You see, the devil and his plan, it was conceived thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, when he learned what the Lord would do, when he learned that as beautiful as he was, and as brilliant as he was, and as critical in so many ways as he was as an archangel, he wandered into some storehouse, some library. He wandered into some tiny part of the Lord's mind, and he understood that the Lord was going to take some hairless monkeys and give them a soul. The Lord was going to take some hairless monkeys and give them eternity. The Lord was going to love people. And Lucifer, being not very wise, never understood that the Lord's heart was big enough for everybody. Like I said, Lucifer's a brilliant grifter, but he's not very wise. He's brilliant, he's intelligent, but he's not very smart. And like with anybody else, to include your good friend Dan, your ability to think and to reason is clouded by rage. The angrier you get, the dumber you get. The more you feel hate, the more you feel fear, the more that you point fingers and say, why do they have this and why don't I have that? Basically, the dumber you get. Lucifer was a brilliant light in the Lord's creation. And then Lucifer didn't understand. Sound like anybody you know? So So yeah, I leave Scompton tomorrow. And I feel like, as I felt leaving Ireland in 2016, I feel like I'm being chased by the devil. Like when I left Dayton, Ohio in 2017. Like when I left Seattle in 2021, with one exception. I ran into two people who are not perfect, because none of us are, but two people who gave me, as a gift, out of respect, because I also respected them, they gave me peace. They allowed me to exist. You may think these are small things, but in this crooked devil's kingdom called America, people like me, no matter how small we want to live, can't be left alone. And you say, well, go to Somalia? Yeah. Ask a Somali if NATO, if the United States military leaves them the fuck alone. Go to Somalia. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, shithead. Go to Somalia. And I know the Lord goes before me. And I know that the Holy Spirit provides me with the knowledge I need, and that, yes, Christ is my shield. And all this is true. But brothers and sisters, selfishly, ignorantly, in my own way, my envy says I envy people that lived, 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Yeah, life was different. Life was still hard. But here's where I would say we need to change perspective. They were still a century or two, 100 years or more, away from what's about to happen. I don't really want to be living right now. I know that my good friend in Seattle would say, Dan, Maranatha, sweet Lord Jesus, come. He would say, you should be happy about being alive right now. But I'm Jonah. I'm, on a good day, Jeremiah. I'm not the person who sings glad tidings. I'm the person that tells you why Jerusalem was destroyed. And nobody wants you over for dinner. And nobody wants to hear that. I'm the one that says to the Lord, you know what? Send somebody else back to Nineveh. Send somebody else to take your information. I love you, God, but I don't want this job, because the Ninevites suck. And if we do convince them to change their ways for a short while, sure, we protect the cows and the dogs and the children and the chickens and the crops and that little budding plant keeping the shade above me. We do all that, but give it 100 years, God, and the Ninevites will be back to their Baal-worshipping, Moloch, observing kind of bullshit. Give it a century, and they will be worshiping the devil again. Beelzebub. You know, the actual name Beelzebub starts with Baal. Did you know that? It's another name for the devil, right? Give it 100 years, Lord. Give it 200 years. Sooner or later, these crap heads will be doing exactly what they did before. You give them the word, you send a prophet, and then just give it a while. And here's the thing I've talked about before. If you study the prophets of the Old Testament, life sucks for all of them. And it's for a couple reasons. One, they're often persecuted. And two, nobody wants to hear what they're going to say, mostly. Mostly they don't want to hear it. And because they don't want to hear it, they're just as likely to want to kill you. And by the way, I'm not a prophet. I'm not even a very good disciple. On some days, I feel the Lord, touching my heart. I feel the Holy Spirit. But like yesterday, I felt the devil chasing me. And then I felt the devil whispering in my ear. And I felt the sense of rage and anger at all the foolish people who are continuing to do their bullshit despite the evidence around them, despite what's going on in the sky every fucking day. They are grabbing on to whatever crooked lie they want to. These same motherfuckers will say, well, Dan, you know, according to the FBI uniform crime reporting, violent crime's never been lower. And the same shithead will say, but the government's lying about climate change. You know, but hey, NASA's telling the truth about space. How some of these fuckers can pick and choose what to believe, I don't understand. What I can tell you is the government's lying about pretty much all of it. And the only question is, are they lying to the upside or the downside? And as far as like uniform crime reporting goes, this isn't very complicated. It's related to property values. Okay, if you're a police chief in a city and that city gets its funds from property taxes, how can I put this? You're probably going to get that wink and a nod. Hey, you know, can you turn that murder into a suicide? Hey, can you turn that theft into something less than theft? Can we ignore all those cars that were stolen? Because, you know, we've got our Weimar wheelbarrow and we need to protect it. We got our paper bag full of shit. This guy in a black suit came to city council. He had a black cat and a rat named Paul. He came to city council and he gave his little speech. He said, we can have everything we ever wanted. And by the way, I got a bridge to sell you. My friend in Seattle is right. I should be joyous. If this is in fact where we're at in the game, I should be joyous. But at the same time, I don't want to hear people going through what they're going to go through. I don't want to hear those noises. I don't want to see what people will be doing. Now, my friend, and again, he's a good man. He's a true Christian man. And he more or less has me convinced that the rapture is a thing. Again, not salvation critical. So maybe I get magicked up to Jesus on the cloud. Or maybe I'm going to be here with all the rest of you shitheads. And I'll be here running from the devil every day of the week. And they'll say, if you don't take the mark, Dan, you won't get your packet of Top Ramen. And then a couple years later, if you don't take the mark, Dan, we're going to cut off your fucking head. But first we'll torture you and we'll shove hot pokers up your butthole. And I can deal with all that. I mean, in part because, how can I put this? The thing about torturing somebody over the age of 50, and that includes all the quote-unquote enhanced interrogation techniques like waterboarding. The thing about torturing people at a certain point in their life is they're most likely going to have a heart attack and die. Now, if you have a special forces doctor right there, a special forces type guy, a Navy medic for the SEALs, maybe you can keep the person alive for a couple hours, but the reality is shock will set in, they will become unconscious, and they'll die. Torture doesn't work very well on old people, is the point. So I'm not really so afraid of torture as I am of hearing other people being tortured. I'm not so afraid of facing the devil as I am to observe others facing the devil. I'm not. And if I do live during the tribulation, I'm not afraid of spreading the word of God at all. But what I'm afraid of is, am I the kind of person that could spread that word in such a way that I could help people? Am I that kind of person that could do that? And the answer is, I don't know. Some days I feel like I could do it. Yesterday, all of my worst demons rose up. All of them conspired. All of them whispered in my ears. Yesterday was a bad day. And I wish I could say it's the worst one, but I'm pretty certain that over the next year or so, we're going to be saying to ourselves, well, yesterday was a bad day, but it's better than tomorrow. But Dan, what about technology? What about traveling to space? What about taking off to the stars? What about nuclear power? Have you heard of thorium, Dan? If we all had thorium underwear, our nuts would glow. If we all had thorium underwear. Dan, if we had a supercomputer, if we had a quantum computer, we could read the future. We could hand out ramen. Everybody would get cricket powder. Everyone would get bull testicle sauce. Everybody would get everything they ever wanted, ever. Everyone will live in a virtual reality, Dan. And the last human left alive 500 years from now, a chunk of flesh and organs and viscera in a metal box, will scream out in the night, please kill me. Doesn't that sound good, Dan? If you told my father in 1980 that in the year 2023, okay, 43 years later, in Canada, not only would you need a passport to cross the border, which wasn't really a thing in Washington State back then, and that's crappy enough, but if you get there and you get three doctors to agree with you, three doctors say, yeah, Dan suffers from depression. And why is he depressed? Because, you know, he's a marginal person. He's not part of center of mass. He's not part of that gooey middle. He wants to be an outlier. So he's depressed. We're the three doctors. We're going to go off and sign off, and then the state can give him whatever fentanyl patches he needs to say goodbye. If you told my dad that in 1980, it depends. I think he might have believed it. Because even then, even though he wanted the American dream, I think he suspected that there were cracks in the boat, in that dream, that there were holes in the boat. My dad wasn't stupid. My dad simply got taken advantage of the way that so many people have been taken advantage of since the beginning of time. He got grifted. He got conned. When I joined the Army in 1996, I got conned. When I look back upon the year 1990, when I was doing ROTC, the first time before I dropped out of school, I used to wonder, why was my dad so angry at me? I mean, I'd earned a scholarship. I seemed to be doing really well. It was such a patriotic thing to do. And yet, that summer of 1990, I'd never seen my dad more fucking angry with me. And I look back and I wish he could have just told me how he felt. Because if he had told me how he felt, if he told me his truth, I think I would have gotten out of ROTC lickety-split. I think I would have avoided my first major depression. I think my life would have been different, but it is what it is. My dad was angry at me probably because I was going into the military, because he had his own experience, and his experience, which is still a bit opaque, a bit hidden, a bit occult, his experience from what I can derive wasn't that great. And if I were to listen to the wife of one particular CIA spook, it was worse than that. But I'll never know. In an empire of lies, if there's a scythe heading your way to chop off your head, if there's a sword getting ready to pierce your heart, in the empire of lies, if there's a piston gun that's going to go through the back of your skull, like an abattoir, you're never going to know. You're going to live the Temple Grandin lifestyle. You'll go through the curvy pathways and see all kinds of sunny skies. You're going to have a glowing rectangle that tells you everything's okay. You're going to have people telling you, well, here's the allowed issues. You can be conservative. You can be liberal. You can be a communist, you can be a greenie. You can vote for Biden, or you can vote for Trump, or you can vote for whatever shithead is the third party candidate. But here's what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to reject it all and say, you know, maybe it's all crap. In fact, worse than that, if democracy actually functioned correctly, which means if our voting actually was accurate and honest, it would be just as bad. It would be an equally horrific situation. That's the reality. That's the truth. You can't say that. You're supposed to say, well, Dan, it's a democracy and we're all voting. Yeah? Two wolves and a lamb voting who's for dinner? Yeah, I've heard that one before. So yeah, I head to Colorado today, right? Probably, who knows? I head to Grinkentown. I've been living in Scompton, now I head to Grinkentown. But Bo Blimp Talk is everywhere. It's in every fiber of your being. It's in every grain of sand. Bo Blimp Talk's in every atom. Bo Blimp Talk's in every electron. Bo Blimp Talk is in every subatomic particle. It's in everything now. It's all Bo Blimp Talk. If you want to donate to this podcast, you can. Can I use the money? Huh. Duh. But who can't? When I was outside today, moving stuff around, I ran into a couple neighbors I barely ever talked to. I gave this neighbor my tricycle because I couldn't fix it, and I don't like to see things go to waste. I didn't take any money from him because I didn't think it was appropriate, so I guess he saw that as a sign that at least I'm not a total asshole. And these days, not being a total asshole makes you kind of a decent person. And they asked me, they cared. They said, you know, everyone's moving out. I said, yeah. We haven't seen you walking the dogs. Well, I pretty much at clockwork between 6 and 8 a.m. have been walking the dogs, with the exception of this last winter when I broke my humerus in two. During that real snowstorm, so real that it's evaporating off like dry ice. And also, that's another thing Dane Wigington gets right. One of his 8 out of 10 things that are true. Whatever that fucking snowstorm was this last winter, it wasn't real. It was some type of chemically engineered bullshit. I barely know these people, and yet they seem to care that I was going. And there's an old lady down the street who says good morning to me every morning. I bet she cares that I'm leaving. I think that there's a bunch of people I've never even spoken to that care that I'm going. It doesn't make me special. It just means I started to become a member of a person within a community. And that's over too. So if you want to donate, you can. You can donate. There's a link to PayPal. I will take whatever money you want to donate. But before you do, make sure you're taking care of the stuff you're supposed to take care of. If you've got a family, before you donate to a random shithead on the internet, take care of your family. Take care of your family. If you've got a dog or a cat or a parrot, but as I say, let's focus on the dogs. Take care of your dog. If you're going to have food for yourself and your family for 6 months, because brothers and sisters, if you need more than 6 months worth of food for what's coming, there ain't a basement big enough. But if you have 6 months of food, which I think makes sense for your family, make sure you got 6 months of food for your dog before you send a random shithead any of your money. If there are people in your life that need help, and chances are in 2023 there are people, help them first. Help them first. This is the equivalent of put on your oxygen mask before you put it on to somebody else when the plane, you know, when the cabin on the airplane depressurizes. And note this, I am not a prophet. And the Lord said, watch for the signs. This is true. There'll be signs of the times. But he also said, like a thief in the night. And it may seem like a contradiction, but it's not. His main message throughout, for several parables in the Bible, his main message is, be ready for me to return. But that doesn't mean I'm going to return today. Be prepared, because the day of the Lord will arrive. But it's not the end of the world. So if you still have money in your pocket after taking care of the things you need to take care of, note that the devil doesn't want you to be happy, but Jesus does. So find some joy, okay? Whatever makes you happy. If you come back and say, well, Dan, flipping houses makes me happy, fine. I think you're flipping Weimar wheelbarrows. If that makes you happy, keep doing it. I think that the Lord wants us to be happy without harming others, so you better be careful about your Weimar wheelbarrow. But if that makes you happy, if banking makes you happy, if playing with Bitcoin makes you happy, just be careful. But when I talk about joy and happiness, I'm talking about the kind that doesn't, through one or two degrees of separation, harm somebody else. So find some joy in this day. Find some happiness. I can't tell you what makes you happy, but find it. Before you give some random shithead any of your fucking money, find some joy, because the Lord wants you to be happy. Have a party, because the Lord wants to see us together happy and not victimizing each other. That makes the Lord smile, when humans can be together. That doesn't mean we're all going to be friends, but if we can be together and enjoy life together without pulling a sword, without pulling a gun, without thinking, how can I take advantage of my neighbor? If we can be together as fellows in a fellowship offering, also known as a party. And you know, the Lord loves parties, and his son did too. That's why he turned water into wine, craphead. Well, it was just grape juice. Go fuck yourself. It was wine. And we don't even know how strong it was. It could have been stronger than any wine you've ever had. We don't know. It was like a couple thousand years ago, motherfucker. The Lord wants you to be happy, so be happy. And if that takes some cash, yeah, spend that money on the joy and the happiness before you send it to a random shithead on the internet. But if you've done all that and you still have all kinds of boblimptock bucks left over, if you've got a pile of gold and a pile of silver, if you've got a whole bunch of hookers and a whole bunch of cocaine, and you've got all kinds of cash because you're a Texas billionaire who rides down the street with two golden six-shooters going pew, 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 then guess what? You can send me that money. And I will do with it exactly what I've told my listeners to do. Food, water, shelter, take care of people in need. Not abstractions. Okay, there are people who will sell you that crap. Well, you can only help people abstractly if someone points a gun at your head. Fuck you. Helping people is one person at a time. And to be honest with you, all these organizations these days who claim to be helping people, a lot of them look like grifters too. And in many cases, they look like vehicles for child trafficking. So you don't have to like give to a tax-exempt organization, a state-sanctioned charity, or a state-sanctioned church. Take the responsibility on for yourself. Self-regulate. Learn to use your moral compass again. There are ways in which you can help people that don't involve a tax deduction. Did you know that? And do all of that before you send a random person any money. But man, if you're a billionaire out there, and you like my podcast, I have no idea why, then yeah, I'll take your money and I will do what I can to help myself and to help others. And I don't look for tax exempt. I don't look for state sanctioned religions. I look for light. I look for love. I look for hope, and I look for liberty. I don't give a fuck about your tax deduction. The only thing you prove by caring about tax deductions is you don't really have a moral compass. It's Monday, August the 14th, 2023. You don't know, and I don't know what's coming next for sure. Could be ugly, could be really ugly. Okay, if you ask me, you don't do high-intensity military psychological warfare for more than 3 years to cover up a surprise party. Unless you're using it euphemistically. The way an operator would. Like when he calls C4 cake. We're going to bake a cake, Dan, for that big old party. We're holding it in Grinkentown. We hope that you show up. And we hope you have a slice of cake at the party. It's a layer cake. And it's just for you. The man in black promises.